Luke chapter 12, please, and the words of the 20th verse. Would like to take as our text tonight. Luke chapter 12 and verse 20. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? The theme of the message in the gospel this evening is the death of a farmer. I pray the Lord will use the message. I pray he might be pleased to speak through it, even write it on the hearts of some gathered here this evening. It's true to say, this land of ours, this province of Ulster in particular, has been blessed with many great evangelists over the years. Even this area of Armagh, if you think of men like Frank Marshall, Frank Marshall was a mighty evangelist with the Irish Evangelistic Band in a former time. He was at the wedding of Mr. and Mrs. Gorman, who are members of the congregation here. Mr. Marshall was greatly used in this country many years ago. On one occasion, he was holding a gospel mission. He would often engage in door-to-door outreach during those gospel meetings, not just content to wait on the people coming in. He would go out to invite them and go out to speak to them on their very doorstep. One day he saw a farmer working in the field, and he went across the field to invite that farmer along to the gospel mission and have a word with him about his soul. The farmer was a man that wasn't sympathetic to the gospel and to the things of God. And the farmer actually got very angry, got mad. And he chased the evangelist from the field with a pitchfork that he was using as he did his work that day. As the mission was coming to an end, Mr. Marshall saw the same man working in the field again. And he thought he would give him another invitation. He was concerned, the man was on his heart. He was burdened for his soul. And he thought that before he would close the mission, before it would end, and before he would leave that community, he would give the man another invitation along to the services. And as he approached the man walking across the field, he saw there was no movement. And as he came to where the man was, he found that he was dead, standing in the field, leaning on his pitchfork, the very same pitchfork that he had chased him from the field with only a few weeks before. It was a tragic death, a tragic story, the tragic death of a farmer. But even more than that, men and women, let me emphasize it to you, it was the tragic death of an unconverted farmer. And remember, that's the story of this text of Scripture that is before us this evening. The death of a farmer. The death of a farmer who died out of Christ. A man that died with no hope for his soul and no hope for eternity. I want you to think of it. Here's a farmer and he's successful. His farm is doing well. Here's a farmer and he's prosperous. It's clear from the passage that he's making a lot of money. But this farmer dies. And he dies tragically, men and women, because he dies without God's salvation. And let me say to you this evening, perhaps the same might be true of you, some person in this meeting. Perhaps you'll die unconverted, die without Jesus Christ as your Saviour. There's some important points just about the death of this farmer that I want you to think about with me for a little while tonight. Think first of all of his strength. Isn't it true, many of you know, farmers are men with great physical strength. That was especially true of former times. You think of the generations of those that lived in the days of the Bible. Even those that lived maybe 60, 80, 100 years ago, when there wasn't as much farm machinery. All the work was done manually. All the work had to be done by hand. Some of you, even in the meeting tonight, remember turning the hay with a fork, the bringing in of the barley in the bags, scattering of the manure with a fork, and the threshing and the binding and the milking of the cows by hand and the milk cans and all of those things. All the days when manual work had to be done to a greater extent on the farm. It was hard work being a farmer. You had to be strong in body. True to say, farmers are strong men. And the man that the Saviour speaks of here in this passage was a man that was strong physically. For one thing, he was a young man. Didn't he say, much goods laid up for many years? Here's a man that he's expecting to live for a long time. He's speaking as one that thinks he has all of his life still before him. He was a young man. As well as that, he was a man that was healthy. Because remember that he's working hard. We're told here that he's out in the fields. He's bringing in the harvest. He's a man that is the picture of health. He's a young man that is strong in body. So I want you to see, men and women, here's a young man in the prime of life without an ailment. And perhaps tonight, that's the condition of some in this gospel service. And if it is, men and women, there's something you need to remember, something you need to see, something you need to take note of that the Saviour records for us here in this portion of Scripture. And what you need to take note of is this. That's when this farmer died. That's when he was taken from this scene of time in his prime. And what a warning that is, men and women. Can I stress to you tonight, the Bible nowhere promises that you will live to be old. Job says, thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age. It doesn't say that you'll come to your grave in old age, in a full age. And remember that that age is different in the sovereignty of God for every person. Think of Barzillai, who was a great supporter of King David. Barzillai died when he was old, when he was frail. He died when he was 80 years of age, an octogenarian. He had reached the 80 years. But what a contrast here, men and women. This man, this farmer, died when he was young, when he was strong. His death took place when he was in full bloom, in the full vigor of life. So I want you to remember, there's no guarantee that you're going to live to be old. And what that means is, you need to get saved today. You need to receive Christ as your Savior now, while you still can, and while you still have opportunity. His strength. I want you to see as well, we're told here about his substance. Verse 16 says, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. This farmer, men and women, was a man that was wealthy. He was a man of substance. He had made a lot of money. And because of the good harvest that he had just experienced, his fortune had just increased. So here's a man of substance. And perhaps the same is true of you. You own a lot of property. You're worth a lot of money. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you got the money honestly, and if money's not your God, not your idol. But if you do have a bit of the wealth of this world, and your life is taken up with it, there's an important question that you need to ask yourself, and it's found there at the end of verse 20. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Will you ponder that? Think of it for a moment. Whenever you die, when your life is over, when you're gone from this world, gone from this scene of time, whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Who will have your money? Who will have your property when you are gone? Who will fight over it when you're no longer here? Is that what was happening here? This man came, there was a fight, a dispute among two brothers. Who will fight over your money and your property when you're gone from this scene of time? Is that a good question? The Savior had been asked in that 13th verse, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Isn't that interesting, men and women? Disputes among families about property, disputes among families over wills and inheritances It's nothing new. It took place even back in Bible times. Even the Savior had to deal with it. Even the Lord Jesus was confronted with such situations, and you have an example of it here. But men and women, take time tonight to consider the question. When you're dead, who will have your wealth? There's one thing certain, and that is that you won't have it. You remember what the psalmist said? For he saith that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. Will you take that in tonight? That, my friend, is what is going to happen to you one day. You're going to go from this world and you're going to leave your wealth. You're going to leave all of your wealth and you're going to leave it to others. Remember this, men and women. You can labor all of your life, labor earnestly, labor honestly, and you can build up a vast empire that is worth a fortune, and many people have done that. But I want you to see this evening, you're not going to take it with you. Not even one little bit of it. Keep in mind the words of Paul writing to young Timothy. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain, many things that are so uncertain in life, so uncertain as we look out upon the future. But here's something that's absolutely certain. You'll carry nothing out. Just the same way you come into this world, empty-handed. That's the way that you will depart from it. Be clear about that fact, men and women. You will take nothing with you when you die. Death, you know, is a separation. If you were to ask tonight that great question, what is death? That's one of the best definitions of death that you will get. It's a separation. Ultimately, death is a separation of your soul from your body. That's when you die. When your soul departs, when your soul is separated from your body. But remember that that separation also includes the fact that you will be separated from all that you have. From your wealth, your riches, your land. And you'll be separated from those things forever. For all eternity. The old gospel hymn says, at the river. It's a reference to the river of death. The river of Jordan that pictures death in the Old Testament scriptures. At the river, what will happen at the river when you die? You'll leave it all. Just take that in, my friend. You'll leave it all behind. And I ask you, would that not warn you this evening? Would that not warn you of the need? And it's a great need. In fact, it's the greatest need of your life. Would it not warn you of that great need to be in possession of something that you can never lose? And what that means, my friend, is you need Christ tonight. You need His salvation. You need His mercy. You need to have His pardon and His forgiveness. So I want to say to you, men and women, in the face of the certainty of death, and the fact that when death comes, you'll be separated from everything that you own and everything that you hold dear in this world, I want you to know you need to be saved. And you need to be absolutely sure of that, 100% certain that you're saved by the grace of God. So His strength, His substance. Think in the third place of a season. Solomon said, to everything there is a season. The Bible says there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. Think of the question with me. When did this farmer die? At what season of the year? Well, it's clear that he died in the harvest. They were bringing in the harvest, bringing in the sheaves. It was at the time of ingathering when he was called from this scene of time. In other words, he died at a very busy time of the year. I think we could probably say that as far as the farm is concerned, this was the busiest time of all. And you know, men and women, there's a lesson there. And listen carefully to me tonight. The lesson is this. You might be too busy to eat. And there's times that can be the case on the farm and when you're involved in business. You might be too busy to eat. You might be too busy to talk. You might be too busy to pray and to go to church. There might even be times when you're too busy even to address the needs of your family. But let me tell you, you'll not be too busy to die. That's one of the great lessons, the great warnings that sounded from this portion of Scripture. Here's a man that was very busy, but he wasn't too busy for death. And I want you to remember that solemn truth. You know, one day, a farmer saw a minister coming down the yard. The minister was engaged in his pastoral rounds, his pastoral visitation. The farmer saw him coming. There was a lot going on. So he shouted up across the yard. The minister was hardly out of the car. "Don't be coming here today. I'm far too busy to have time to talk to you." You know, the man was out of Christ. The minister was concerned for him. And he said, "Well, just before I go, let me ask you one question." And this is the question that he asked. He said to the farmer, "If I was death coming down across the yard today, would you still say to me, I'm too busy?" That's the reality, men and women. You're never too busy to die. See, death never takes account of where you are. It never takes account of what you're doing. It never takes account of how much you still to do. Death never takes account of what plans you are making. Let me remind you tonight, there are those who have died in the church, died in the place where you sit tonight, died sitting in a church pew. Death is no respecter of who you are and where you are. There are those who have actually died in the pulpit. Some of you know our brother Peter Lunn, the organist in the Martyrs Church in Belfast. I went to the youth fellowship in Martyrs with our brother Peter many years ago. He told us the Methodist church just off the Raven Hill Road that they grew up in. The minister that was preaching one Sunday felt a little ill. He took a step or two back, sat down in the seat in the pulpit, and in a moment was gone from this scene of time. Those who have died in the house of God, those who have died at even the most important family functions, even like a family wedding. I had a great aunt. She was my grandfather's sister. And she died on the day of her granddaughter's wedding. See, men and women, death is no respect. Death doesn't take into account the things that are happening in your life. I want you to understand that tonight. You're never too busy to die. Never. There's never a day of your life that will be too much going on for you to be called away. And I want to ask you tonight, you think about that. What of you? What of you this evening? What if you died today? As this man did, remember, this night, the very day that these things are recorded of. What if you died today? What if you died at this autumn time? We've been thinking about the harvest over these last few weeks as well. Busy time even in the churches with all the harvest services. Well, what if you died at this harvest time? What if the grim reaper, let's think of the picture, the illustration, the analogy of the farm and the reaping. Death is often described, portrayed as the grim reaper. What if he came now and put in the sickle and cut you down? What then, my friend? You might argue, well, that won't happen to me. Well, remember, this man that we're reading off here tonight, this man died suddenly. Here's a farmer that died without warning. Here's a man and his death came unexpectedly. I'm sure often as you've read the obituaries in the paper, you'll have read those words, died suddenly, died without warning, died unexpectedly. Remember, that could happen to you too. Here's a man and death came and it was a shock. Everybody knew how busy this man was. The prosperous time that he'd had, the work that was going on. He was launching out into a major building program. Those famous words, pulling down his barns and building greater, redesigning and enlarging the farmyard. Here's a progressive farmer. Everybody knew what was taking place. So his death came as a shock, not just to the family, but to the whole community. He was young. He was in the full vigor of life. He thought he would live for many more harvests and live for many more years. But he didn't, men and women. Just a few hours later, just a few hours, before the night was over, before the morning dawned, he was dead, he was gone. His soul was separated from his body, and his soul was in hell for all eternity. So I ask you again, what have you died today? What have you died at this autumn time? How would it be? How would it be with you? Have you any hope for eternity? Think of those simple words the Savior uttered to this man. This night, not tomorrow night, not next Sunday night, not a night next month or next year. God said to him, this night. And I want you to understand, men and women, how urgent, how vital this night could be in your life. I want you to see that. This, men and women, could be for you a night of destiny, a night of eternal destiny. And that's why it's so urgent that you hasten into the kingdom of God. Think of Jeremiah's great words. We often refer to them at this season. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And you are not saved. I want you to consider that. Another harvest over. Many has it been. Another summer ended. Another summer gone. And still, my friend, you're not saved. You're not right with God. Just think of how fearful that is. If God were to call you suddenly from this scene of time. There's one other thing I want you to see, and that is his soul. The text, verse 20, says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. We don't know what was the cause of this man's death. There are many things the Bible doesn't reveal to us. And the Lord doesn't tell us here whether this man died with an accident. And we've heard of many farm accidents in recent weeks and months. We don't know if he died with an accident. We don't know whether he died with an illness, whether he took ill, heart attack, something of that nature. We don't know, men and women, how he died physically. But let me stress this. We do know. We do know beyond doubt how he died spiritually. Because he died without Christ. How solemn that is. He died unsaved, men and women. The fact is, this man's soul was lost. And I want you to ponder the reality of that tonight. That this is a solemn, awful reality we're thinking about. The fact that your soul, when it departs from your body at death, can be lost. And lost in hell forever. You see there in the middle of verse 17, there's two little words, no room. Those words sum up this man's life entirely. He had no room for his harvest. Such a large harvest that he couldn't get it all gathered in to the farmyard that he had at that time. So he decided he would build a bigger farmyard. He would build larger barns. No room for the harvest. But there's something far worse in this man's life than no room for the harvest. And that was he had no room for God. There was no room in his life for the Lord, or for the gospel, or for the Bible, or for salvation. The hymn we sang a little earlier would sum him up well. Room for business. Room for pleasure. But for Christ the crucified, not a place. Not even one place that he could enter in your heart for which he died. Those words describe this man. And maybe they describe you too. Someone here in the gathering. Remember that he was planning for time. He was looking out into the future. Much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He was looking to the forward to the future. All the pleasures, all the luxuries of life. Thought he was going to have a great time. Planning for time to live comfortably, he thought, for many years ahead. But you know the great tragedy, men and women? is they had no plans for eternity. No plans for eternity. Is that just what you're like? I want you to see, men and women, tonight, that that is the greatest folly of all. There's no greater folly in this life. There's nothing more foolish in this world than to live only for the things of life and to have no time or no thought for the things of eternity. That's why the Lord called this man a fool. That's why the Lord described him in such a strong and candid manner. It's because the man had no thought, no preparation made for his soul and his destiny in eternity. I wonder, is that what the Lord thinks of you as he looks down tonight? You're a fool. Because of the way you're living. Because of your attitude to your soul. Because of the attitude you have to things that are eternal. You know, many years ago in America, George Truett in Dallas, he was invited out to the home of a very wealthy rancher. They had dinner together. After dinner was over, the rancher took Dr. Truett up onto the roof of his home. From there, there was a nice viewing point. You could look out over the countryside in every direction. And the man started to tell Dr. Truett that 25 years or so before he'd come into that country with very little money, but he'd worked hard and he'd saved. And he'd built up a great ranch and a great business venture. And he pointed out in every direction. And he told Dr. Truett, as far as your eye can see, every way you look, whether north, south, east or west, he could look out on some fields of grain and there was the great prairies of cattle and that there was large fields of waving grain. And he was even in the oil industry by those days. The oil derricks pumping vast amounts of oil, barrels of oil out of the ground. And he boasted to Dr. Truett about all of these things. And then he paused for a moment. And he thought there would be some words of praise, some words of commendation come from the preacher. Dr. Truett was saddened. He had a heavy heart. And he simply and tenderly put his hand upon the shoulder of that dear man. And he pointed up to heaven. And he asked him the simple question, how much do you own in that direction? And I'd like you to think about that, men and women. Are you like that man, like that rancher? He was taken up with what he owned here. And maybe you're the same. Taken up with all the things of this life, all the wealth, all the property, just like the man in the story, the farmer in the passage before us, taken up with all of those things, but no thought of heaven. No thought tonight about your soul. The awful tragedy would be if your soul was lost in eternity. Do you remember the question that Elisha sent Gehazi, his servant, to ask the Shunammite woman? Is it well with thee? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with a child? The question, men and women, isn't dealing with the physical or the social or the financial. Remember at that time, the Shunammite's woman, her son had died. And she was able to answer Gehazi that day, it is well. There's only one way. Let me stress that to you. Do you read that story in the scriptures and 2 Kings chapter 4. There's only one way that any person can say it's well in the face of death. And that is if it's well with your soul. Well with you in the light of God's great eternity. And that's why Horatius Spafford took those words and penned the hymn, it is well with my soul. That's really what the question's asking. When it says, is it well with thee? And I want to impress that on your heart tonight. Is it well with you tonight, my friend, spiritually? Is it well with you eternally? God were to call you away. Remember the thief on the cross, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. That very day he was going to die. This farmer, this night. Well, if that was to be so for you, this day or this night, whichever the case may be, Is it well with your soul, my friend? I want to ask you that. I want you to consider it. How is it with your soul tonight? Is your soul saved? Because I want you to be no doubt before you go from the gathering this evening. There's not a thing in this world. I don't care what you have or what you think. There's not one thing in this world that's more important than the saving of your soul. You think of a girl receiving an engagement ring from her fiancé, and she looks more at the box. She's taken up more with the box that the ring came in than she would be taken up with the ring itself. The gold or the silver or the rose gold and the diamonds and all, whatever the case may be. You say that would be very foolish, and so it would. But let me say this to you tonight, men and women. If you're out of Christ tonight, and no thought about your soul, then you're even far more foolish. Far worse. Because you're taken up with your body. That's the only thing that has your attention and your thoughts. Taken up with your body. And not a single thought for your soul. How is it with you tonight, spiritually? How is it with your soul? Remember the words of the Savior. And they have a great relevance in the light of this story that's before us tonight. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world? Well, here's a man, and he thought he was gaining the world. He thought he was on top of the world. Here's a man that was riding on the crest of the wave. Here's a man that was making great advances in farming and in business, gaining the whole world. But oh, the terrible tragedy of the end of the story. Because his soul was lost. Lost forever. And what a tragedy that would be, my friend. What a tragedy that would be if that was the end of your story too. Those words, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. This harvest is past, another harvest gone. But remember, men and women, there's one harvest that is not yet over, not yet past. The Bible says in the parable of the tares and the wheat, the tares of the field, the harvest is the end of the world. So there's one great harvest that is yet to come. And the question, men and women, that you need to take to heart tonight is this. If that harvest is over, and that harvest is gone, and you still have to say, if it's still the case with you, then that you're still not saved. You think of how awful it will be. Because the Bible says that that day will be a great day of division. The wheat will be gathered into the barn, gathered into the garner. But the tares will be gathered together in bundles. And they'll be cast into the fire. And you know, one of the very significant things of that story, that parable in Matthew 13, is when the Savior explained and interpreted the parable, the fire was still fire. It's one of the greatest proof texts in all the Word of God of the fact that there's literal flames in hell. And that's where you will go. And how we feel the burden of that tonight, and we pray that God would cause you to feel it too. That is where your soul will go forever. If at that last great harvest you have to stand before God and say, not saved. Still not saved. I'll say this, men and women, in closing. It's very interesting. We're thinking of a farmer here, Luke 12. It's very interesting that the first person ever to die, the first person ever in the history of this world that experienced death was a farmer, a young man called Abel. The Bible tells us he was a shepherd. He was a keeper of sheep, and that's of particular interest and relevance to some in the service tonight. And young Abel died, let me even go further and say, Young Abel was murdered at the hand of another. That's how he lost his life. He was murdered at the hand of his own brother. Think of the awful tragedy that is, men and women. And his own brother, Cain, he was a farmer too. Here's an awful family dispute that took place right at the very beginning of time. But here's what I want to impress upon you. There's many lessons we could learn from that story tonight. But just in the light, in the context of what we have considered from Luke 12, remember this. Abel died and he went to heaven. Went to be with Christ. Whereas Cain, when he died, he went to hell. The Bible leaves us no doubt of that. That's not conjecture or speculation of any kind. The book of Jude, you read through that little epistle, the penultimate book of the Bible. This is what Jude tells us of Cain, where he went after he died. The blackness of darkness forever. So Abel died and went to heaven. Cain died and he went to hell. And I want to put the question to you just as I finish tonight. As you consider that, those two brothers and their death and their eternal destiny, I want to ask you the question, which will it be for you? When you die, my friend, and maybe you'll die tonight, who knows? You need to consider that and accept and face that reality. But when you die, and maybe tonight, which will it be for you? Heaven or hell? Will you be with Abel in the glory? Or will you be with Cain in that blackness of darkness, that outer darkness? The Bible says where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. We're going to sing as we finish.